Now, back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We continue our coverage from the 2014 NFL Scouting Combine. We are at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. And joining the show now is the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, Ray Farmer. How you doing?
Vic, how are you, man?
All
good
right.
To see you again.
Great to see you, and great to kind of see you, and that's where I want to start. Your first combine as a GM, I know you've been to this many times before. I know you know Indianapolis probably better than you know Cleveland, all the roads and all the restaurants and everything else. But tell me what this experience is like as a GM for the first time here.
It is definitely different. A lot more demands on my time than in the past. But nevertheless, I think the process remains the same. It's really truly about getting to know these guys as well as you can. Starting to look past some of the other things and spend time with the players and really grow into trying to make those decisions, have the conversations with the coaches, have more conversations with the scouts as it equates to the process as a whole. And so it's about gathering information. So that's why we're here. That's what we're doing. And it's going well so far.
So as a GM being here for the first time, like you said, you've been here in numerous roles, whether it be a scout, whether it be a player and have you. There's no change or no challenges as you feel only having the job 2 weeks?
I think the challenges are I'm going to say they're the same. And the difference for me is truly the time constraints. Like, I have more people demanding my time than I have in the past. It's staying focused, and it's making sure that you cover all your bases. I mean, there's a lot of things to get done in a short period of time, so it's maximizing those hours. Before, as a worker bee, I had a defined role of things I had to get accomplished. Now I'm probably more of an information gatherer from a global perspective, that I'm meeting all the worker bees to gather all the information that they've kind of been able to go out and ascertain. So it's a management role versus being an on-the-field laborer. So in this respect, I think that it's trying to take in more information in a shorter period of time, but also understanding that this is not the finality piece of the process. This is just another step. So gathering as much intel as you can, starting to learn the player, put certain guys to bed that you've kind of finalized the step with them. You know their character. They were good kids. You've kind of finalized where you are with them. But at the same time, digging a little bit deeper on those guys that may have had some issues.
You talk about demands on your time. I heard a rumor that you had somewhere in the neighborhood of 270-odd text messages when you were named GM. That's never happened to you, I don't think, before.
That
right?
has not
right.
happened. That number went above 400 at one point because you couldn't respond quick enough. So I'm happy to say I'm under 70.
You're under 70.
If you're in the last 60 and you're out there and you're listening, I'm getting to you. I will definitely get back to you.
So it started at 400 plus?
The total number, when you look at the little number, was over 400, but
and
I'm getting there.
Most of the – I know people are well-wishers and their hearts are in the right place, but – it's people certainly looking for jobs in the NFL. Right?
Potentially. There's been a number of guys that have definitely thrown their hat in the ring, and there's a bunch of guys that have definitely just kind of commented on, hey, congratulations. And so definitely good to know that people are supportive. It's also good to get resumes at times, but I think that it really just makes you feel good that many people are in contact or wanting to say congratulations to reach out.
Yeah, care about you, support you. Talk about your relationship with Mike Pettine, because this is so critical. That you've talked about this before, where you said you have to be in lockstep. You guys have to be on the same page. But explain how you go about getting there with a guy. You've been on this job just a couple of weeks. He hasn't been the head coach of the Browns for very long. You haven't worked together for very long. So how are you getting there?
Time, like any relationship. You got to spend time. It's rooted in having the conversations, watching the tape together, having the discussions. And I think as we work through those instances and I get to know his style, he gets to know me, we can talk about the different players and how they fit and what vision we see for that player. That's how we kind of get together. And again, I don't think that we should necessarily agree all the time, but I do think we should have an understanding where the other person's coming from. So I think those conversations have definitely been taking place. The time that we spend in having the conversations and talking about players and talking about circumstance is allowing us to build a relationship that we can forge and know that it is in lockstep and is fortified as we move forward.
Yeah, and I think with the draft being pushed back 2 weeks this year, it gives you more time to get together and see what you want, because it's a point right now where I think, and if you will, you pretty much figure out this is what we want to do with our team. This is the type of player we want to build the Browns. And we start with that, and then we forge the relationship.
I agree. I think that it's truly rooted in what do we need to do behind acquiring each player. There's attributes and characteristics that each position is going to display that we're going to need the guy to have those traits. And as we watch tape, as we identify players, as we work through that circumstance, I'll have my chance to say, hey, look, this is what I saw. He'll have his chance to say, this is what he saw. The coaches will have their day. The scouts will have their day. And inevitably, we'll make a decision that allows us to find the right players for this football team.
Is it evolving? You said it's about time. Is it evolving that definition of what a Cleveland Brown is as it looks like through your eyes and through Mike's eyes? If you can kind of get into the depth of that conversation, and, you know, you'll see it when you know it. But, I mean, you know, giving people a sense of truly – as the gatekeeper of this football team, the kinds of guys as the gatekeepers, the kinds of guys you want on this roster.
I said this before, independently. So Coach Pettine had his thoughts behind when he became a head coach, how he wanted his football team to look. I had my thoughts independently about how I wanted a football team to look as a general manager. Those two independent thoughts meshed up really well. The things that he thought were paramount are some of the same things that I thought were paramount. Guys that are naturally competitive. Guys that are naturally tough, guys that are instinctive players, guys that are competitive, relentless, passionate, play fast. Not necessarily they ran fast, but they play fast, and guys that are productive. And I think that all of those pieces add up to a way that we know what play like a Brown looks like. We know what when we say a guy is playing like a Brown, we want to know what that picture is. And I think we have a good idea in our head of the guys that can identify with and perform to the level that we're going to hold them to. Setting a new standard is going to be uncomfortable for a lot of reasons, and I think that Coach Pettine embraces that. I know I definitely do. So I think that change, the difference in kind of how he's going to approach it, the difference in how we feel the team should look, will be requisite in the players that we take and then how they perform on the field.
And to the point of system fits, we know he likes this multiple front type of defense. We know Kyle Shanahan talks about this zone outside, zone blocking scheme and the running game, and everything's built off of that. Address that in how you're evaluating players for the schemes that you run.
I think, and again, I've constantly tried to make the assertion that a big part of being a general manager is simply about finding players to do what the coaches need them to do. It does us no good if we're going to be an athletic offensive front to get guys that are power scheme fits. They don't fit. So the guy may be a good football player, what you're going to ask him to do, it doesn't fit his skill set. So we need to make sure that we conscientiously try to find guys that have the attributes that we need. Moving forward from there, I will say that the really good thing about Coach Pettine, Kyle, Jim, again, I probably should clarify, Kyle Shanahan, Jim O'Neill, that really clarifies those guys is that we're flexible. They've all intimated that fine, good football players will figure it out. They'll find a way to get the good football player on the field to give him a chance to have success. That being said, it opens up the scope of what we can do. And so what people think may be the optimum fit in a certain position may not be, because there may be a better football player that is not exact, but they'll find a way to make that guy successful in what we're going to do moving forward.
Yeah, and with that in mind, I'm sure you guys watch a lot of tape on different athletes and players in different many positions. So when you have someone or players that are close in ability, what is going to separate them here at the combine when you guys out there looking at them?
I think there's a couple things that separate guys. When you talk about if the ability is the same, then I would tell you that if I'm looking at player A and player B and they play the same position and everything else is equal, I'm going to take the bigger guy. The other thing I'm going to look at is I'm also going to take the guy that's the better person. If one guy, again, I'm not saying that we're adverse to a guy that has done some things in the past, but I do think I want to make sure that we're finding the right guy. You know, the things, the intangibles, if you will, that make up a player are critical. Is he a naturally competitive person? I want the guy that he may have never played backgammon, but as soon as you explain it to him, he thinks he can beat you. I want the guy that he may have never been exposed to racquetball, but as soon as you walk out there and you want to play with him, he thinks he can beat you or he should beat you. I want the guy that's naturally pushing the envelope in a direction to be successful and win. It's little things like that to me that help demonstrate the kind of guys that you really want on your football team, because inevitably when they get a chance to demonstrate their talents, they're going to compete at a level that others are unable or unwilling to match.
Ray, two players, Alex Mack, T.J. Ward, are heading to free agency, but obviously things can be done to prevent that from happening, like long-term contracts or franchise tags or whatever. Where do things stand with both of those guys right now?
Again, I'm going to stand on this little perch and say that at the end of the day, I really don't want to talk contracts and future circumstances with players in any other venue other than to the player himself and to the agent. So I want to make sure those guys are getting their due process, because I don't think it's fair to comment of what that may be or what that may look like moving forward. I think the players are definitely would be receptive to the fact that it's in their court to release that information when they think it's time, but the club won't do that.
And last thing, quarterbacks are going to be a big part of this discussion. They always are at the combine, but especially for the Browns and especially sitting there at number four. Just the fact that we know, I think right now, Blake Bortles is the only guy who has said he would throw here. How big of a difference is that he's doing that, number one? And number two, what can you ascertain from the quarterbacks who, like Johnny Manziel or Teddy Bridgewater, if he decides not to throw? Manziel said he isn't. What can you ascertain from guys who don't do that? What good information can you pull from that, even if they don't?
I think that the good and the bad, you could take it either way. You could say that it's wise for a quarterback not to throw sometimes in the instance of the timing of the routes, the player that he's throwing to. There's a symbiotic relationship between the receiver and the quarterback, and then there's guys that they fit, like they get it. It's Joe Montana throwing to Jerry Rice. Like, they just got it. They understood each other. The timing was unique. I think the same is true with a quarterback. If he can go back to his school and he wants to throw to a group of receivers that he knows and they understand and they practice, and he can put his best foot forward and demonstrate what he's truly capable of doing. I do like the idea of a kid that says, you know what, I don't care who I'm throwing to. Yeah. I'm going to go here and take the bull by the horns, and I'm going to show you whether you ground up five guys off the media concourse or whether you want to go down to the field and find the best five athletes that are wide receivers at this draft. I'm going to demonstrate that I can do it and do it at a high level. There's positives to take either way. I do think that personally, the reason for the combine is for these guys to come and perform.
Yeah.
If they choose not to, I understand where they're coming from. But at the same time, you'd like for all of them to compete on an equal footing.
Yeah, Bortles is helping himself, I think, by doing that, by wanting to throw.
And again, I think that he could definitely help himself. And the question would say, I'd ask you this question: if he didn't throw well, if there was a throw that he made that the receiver didn't get there, was that a bad throw? Was the receiver not in lockstep? Did the receiver pull up? Like, what was the genesis of why that ball wasn't complete?
And I would trust the scout, you, and others to look and make that determination, right? Not whether you hold how you determine that, and then he gets future workouts to show you. But you know, if he goes to the media concourse and takes Eric out there, he might be in good shape.
Eric's got a shot. He's definitely got – that's real guy status right there.
I like the fact that Blake Bortles is willing to come out there and throw without being comfortable. A lot of athletes have to be comfortable to go out there and compete, and the fact that he's willing to come out here and just say, I'll throw – with anybody, I like that.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I do believe that, like I said, there's positives to take from either side of the coin. In the instance that Blake decides to go out here and demonstrate his talents, all for it. I think, again, that's the genesis of the combine, is that it was so that guys didn't have to have 32 different workouts to demonstrate to each team what he's capable of doing. The reality is that some guys opt not to do it. So we have to live with it, and we got to then make those adjustments as we move forward into the spring.
Ray, could talk with you much longer, but you do have those constraints on your time, a lot of people needing your time, but we thank you for taking the time to join us on the show.
I appreciate it, and while I'm on the radio, there's a guy by the name of Lionel Brookins. I keep saying this guy's name. I met him this morning at Panera Bread.
Okay.
He's a season ticket holder since 99. Those are the kind of support that we need. The guy's down in Indianapolis working, and again, I just wanted to say hello to him,
and it was
interesting to meet a Browns fan here in Indianapolis the week of the combine doing something different. And so I think we got to continue to support our fans. Our fans got to know that I'm respectful of the opportunities to engage them and talk to them in one-on-one situations. So if you do see me out, say hello.
That's fantastic. Thank you for delivering that message. He is Ray Farmer, the general manager of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We are broadcasting from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. We're at Lucas Oil Stadium, and we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.